I waited a few swallows, a couple of deep breaths, before standing and tugging the quilt, with its blue and white wedding ring pattern, up and over Mom's face. Quiet. Peace. Finally. Exhaustion frayed my edges, fringed my cogent mind until the world hazed a gray-blue. Mom's death was a type of ending, sure, but the beginning of so much more. Are we ready? I tucked the corners of the quilt down under the mattress, into the crevice between the headboard and pillows. Smoothed out the wrinkles, covered up the filth. The days of dying cleaned up with the bright rings of magical promises my parents made to each other 20 years ago. The bulge in the middle of the bed didn't resemble a human being anymore, let alone the woman who'd loved us our whole lives. Why didn't she listen when it mattered? The juncos, chickadees, and nuthatches chattered like stock traders outside. Or maybe, as the world fell more silent with each death, the birds simply seemed louder, more insistent. The day was what Washingtonians called partly sunny rather than partly cloudy, and only about 50 degrees, but I'd kept the windows open. The chilled breeze blew in the stench of rotting meat and garbage. This world was separated only by a matter of degrees of gross. I almost didn't notice. I remembered moments when the air I breathed was scented with cedar trees, the dank acidic tang of low tide miles away, or elderberry blossoms on the wind, a lifetime ago. Can it really be only 8 weeks? Move, Nadia, don't stop moving. So much to do. Rabbit's footsteps sounded like a herd of elephants pacing upstairs. I imagined he checked the family room one last time for treasures he absolutely had to take with him. He probably lingered over the Xbox 360, gaming maniac that he'd once been. The shooting game Uncle Bean gave us with a stern lecture to hide it from Mom, but practice aiming, firing, and holding a weapon until we were comfortable with it. Rabbit clattered down the stairs, dropping something heavy, swearing words he shouldn't know at 11. A sigh deflated my legs until all I wanted to do was melt into the floor and let the virus get me too. Or pills, or booze, or blades, anything to not be left behind. I leaned my back against the side of the bed and scratched my scalp. My fingernails had blood and other grossness in the cracks and creases. Will they ever be completely clean again? Will I? Rabbit's footsteps paused outside the master suite's door. He'd worry at the quiet. Mom's moans and screams became a part of our routine. Intense, contorting pain was one of many symptoms of Blue Star. A thin, wavering voice called through the door. Dad, come get Mom? If Dad came to get Mom, why in the hell didn't he take us too? Why do we have to live? Yep, champ. She's gone. I called back to my little brother, trying not to sound as defeated as I felt. Get up, Nadia. Be the cockroach, not the orchid. I heard Dad's voice chastise me until I pushed myself off the floor. Leaning down, I kissed Mom's forehead through the quilt. It was almost easy to say goodbye. Those last few days had been so horrific, so painful to watch, that the relief felt too big to fit inside my skin. But I was empty, couldn't even summon up tears. I'd used them all, along with fervent prayers and agonizing wishes. Who has energy left to grieve? I have to be strong, keep it together. When? Rabbit shouted as he threw a tennis ball against the hallway wall with a steady thrum of a heartbeat. He did it when he was most worried, most anxious.